Here in Hebrews, and chapter 13, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate," or outside the gate. "Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp," outside the camp, "bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased." Now, as we look in the Scripture and throughout the Word of God, there is an order that is set forth, and that order must not ever be disrupted. And the order is that the Lord is the ruler over all things. And he is a omnipotent ruler. He doesn't need any help in that capacity. And so that in the church, there is a hierarchy, but it is a unilateral hierarchy. And that means that there is not a delegation of authority in the church. But there is one authority, and that is Jesus Christ. And so that when the Scriptures say here, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God," it defines what the rule is. It is not the rule. Of course, what he's speaking about here is those who have spoken to you the word of God, remember what they have said. It doesn't say, look at them and hold them up and believe that they are in some place of a higher standard, or they are in some place of a subsidiary role of being a ruler in the sense of a king. Because that's never taught to us in the Scripture. Those who are sent by the Lord to be teachers of God's people, they can only teach what they've been given. They can't figure it out themselves. And they certainly would never have any ability or knowledge of the things of God if it wasn't that God gave them to them. And so it doesn't make any difference where a person might be among the saints of God. We're all in the same situation, because we are none of us in a place of hierarchy over the other. So when it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you," remember what it goes on to say that the rule is. See, it's not a rulership. He doesn't say, "Remember the rulership." He says, "Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God." Now, that's the only rule that we have, or ruler that we have, is the Word of God. So if I, Paul said, or anyone else come speaking to you any other message than that which I have preached, let him be accursed. Because the power of God is not in men. The Lord hadn't set up men to be revered. Now I know that it is a common thing among most churches and in the mind of most people that they're like, oh, this is God's man. You know, here he is. Now he's just God's man because he's God's man. I'm telling you, there's nobody that's God's man that's not speaking the truth of God. Because God has sent his disciples into the world to tell the truth of the Word of God. And so the rulership that he's speaking about here is not resting in the standing of the man, but in the standard of that which he is telling us. And so it doesn't make any difference who it is that is speaking that word that is true. Remember them that have the rule over you, because what is the rule? It's the Word of God. If they're not speaking the Word of God, if they're speaking to us something other than what the truth is, then by no means are we to follow it. Now, some would have us believe that we're supposed to just believe what somebody says, but that's not what this says. It says, remember them which have the rule over you as they who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow. Now, if they're not men of faith, why would you want to follow them? You know what I mean? If they're coming and they're promoting some other message than faith in Jesus Christ, that He is the faith of God's elect, then what would we want to follow somebody like that? So that's what he's saying here. Whose faith follow? What is that faith? It's that faith that they have preached unto you, which he defines in the next verse here. Who have spoken unto you the Word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. That is the purpose of what it is they are saying to you, or even better, what they are demonstrating unto you. Which is what he says in the next verse here, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, brethren, that's the summation and the total of everything that we would come preaching and teaching unto the people of God. And that is a message worthy of remembering. And it is that which rules over us. Not in the words of a man, but in the words of God. Because He said it. And He has declared it. And so we are to pay heed to that. Now, God raises up men and gives them gifts according to the good pleasure of His will. And so it would be foolish for us to neglect that. Or to cast aspersions upon it. Or to reject it. And so what He's saying here, as God sends the Word of God into your midst, remember it and be thankful. I mean, are you not thankful that the Lord sent the Apostle Paul to preach and teach the Word of God? Now, what if the Apostle Paul had come and he changed horses in the middle of the stream and started preaching something else? Would we be going and following the Apostle Paul? No, why do we follow the Apostle Paul? Not because he's the Apostle Paul, but because he is preaching the truth of God. And that is what he's telling us here. Whose faith follow? Now, if we don't follow the faith of Jesus Christ, then why would God's people be admonished to follow us? That's what he says here. Considering the end of their conversation. What is the end of their conversation? What is the finality? What is the purpose of it? Usually when the word end is in the Scripture, it's speaking about what is the purpose of it. What does it, you know, you've heard the phrase, the end justifies the means. Well, what is the end? The end is the purpose. So if you have a purpose, if you believe the concept, that the end justifies the means, then whatever you got to do to accomplish that end or purpose is what you need to do. But we remember the end of the conversation, the purpose of the life, the purpose of the message, which is Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, forever. Now, how do we know that that is what he's getting at? Because look at what he says in the next verse. Be not carried away with different and strange doctrines. Now, you know, if somebody comes preaching a different and strange doctrine long enough, it becomes something that's not different and strange, doesn't it? And it becomes accepted. So, how do we know what's different and strange? Well, we have to have a standard to go by, and it certainly can't be men, because men will tell you all sorts of things. But I guarantee you one thing, you go back to this book right here, and it's not going to tell you more than one thing. I mean, I might twist this and turn it or tell you any sort of thing, but you see, this book will always be correct. I might not be correct, but this will be. And that's why we read about the Bereans that Luke said these were more noble than they of Thessalonica. He said the Bereans were more noble because they searched the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Now, one of the worst things that happens among those that call themselves the followers of Christ is that they grow complacent and they grow lazy. And they just want somebody to just tell them, don't make me think, don't make me search, don't make me struggle with this. Just tell me. And so they just willingly follow and they give up that search. They give up that desire to find out if these things be so. And so the challenge that we set forth before the people of God is prove whether or not these things are so. Don't just believe it because somebody says it. I mean, just because, well, he's the preacher and it must be true. No, it must not be true. There's a thousand preachers out there today, and they, you better be careful if you think all of them's telling you the truth, because they all ain't saying the same thing. And so what is the truth? The truth is found right here. And the truth will always be centered in Christ. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Don't be carried about with strange doctrines. What's a strange doctrine? It's anything that departs from that. If something sounds strange, it'll sound strange to you because it's not Christ. Somebody says, oh, well, that's okay. That grace is good. It's good to preach grace, but, brethren, but is associated with a strange doctrine. That's a strange and different doctrine when somebody says grace, but. See, but and grace don't go hand in hand. It's grace. It's God's grace. It's the mercy of God. It's the goodness of God. It's the work of God. It's the faith of God. It's that which the Lord has accomplished in our behalf. Not at all anything that we're going to accomplish in His behalf. Now, we know that the Spirit of God works in those who are His, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There is a work of God in the soul of man. But that is not the message that sums up the totality of the gospel. Because the totality of the gospel is summed up in Christ. Because it's not only what Christ does in us, but it's what Christ has done for us. And so at the end of the day, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is good that the heart be established with grace. See, this is the standard and the place upon which we we come is that it's grace, not meats. Now, what's he talking about with meats? Well, meats, in many cases in the Scripture, is synonymous with the works of religion. Because the Jews, remember, the Lord gave to the Jews these dietary laws. Now, they served a purpose. And that purpose was to manifest the difference between God's people and the people of the world. He said, I'm giving you these things to set you apart. You don't eat swine flesh, he said to them. Now, why did they... You know, there's all kinds of theories out there as to why the Lord told not to eat swine. Now, one of the things is that they say, oh, well, you know, it's an unhealthy meat. Have you ever heard that? I mean, you hear people say that all the time. Well, swine flesh, that's unclean meat. Well, brethren, that's not what the Lord said to Peter. He said, the Lord has made all these things clean. It's not unclean. That's not why the Lord told them not to eat swine's flesh. He told them not to eat that because he would make a difference between that people which was his and the people in the world. Now, he did that to manifest a greater difference. I mean, the Lord, a swine no different than a cow or anything else as far as the creation of God is concerned. And so meats are not the thing. But you see, men like stuff like that. Oh, well, we don't do this. Or we do that. Or this, that, or the other. And so what he's talking about meats are things that people latch hold of and hold on to. Whether it's days, times, seasons, habits. Doesn't make a difference. All of these things are things that people like to give as distinctions. That things they say, oh, well, we're a people, you know, we believe in this. And we don't do these things. We wouldn't eat that. Or we would go here. Or we would observe this day. Or whatever it may be. But so he says here, it is good the heart be established with grace, not with meats, not with the symbols of religion. You know, there are many practices of religion that people like. And I know they've got symbolism to them and they mean something, but brethren, our hearts are not to be established with such things. It's going around with some ashes scraped off of somewhere and pasted on your face. I mean, if somebody wants to do that, that's fine. But dear brethren, this doesn't change what Paul said. Let your heart be established with grace, not those things. If you do those things, do them. If you do them for conscience sake, fine. But you better not be taken up with them. Because those are not the things of which the gospel is. That's just like a peripheral thing. I mean, that's a personal preference. Do whatever you want to do with it. It's just like somebody that says that you ought to keep the Sabbath. Now, some people believe in a literal keeping of the Sabbath on Saturday who claim to be believers in Christ. And that's fine. There's not a thing in the world wrong with somebody who believes they ought to keep the Sabbath day. I'd like to see, I don't see how they can do it, but I just, if they want to do that, and they believe they'll do that, that's fine. But I'm telling you this, you better not let your heart be established with that. You better not be holding on to that as anything, or trying to teach somebody else that they need to do that. Because that's moving beyond what he's saying right here. Now, it's okay for conscience sake if a man do such a thing. I certainly am not going to oppose him or ridicule him or anything else, but I'm not going to sit idly by and let somebody say that a man must do those things in order to be numbered with the people of God. Because you see, such as that is to let your heart be established with something other than grace. Then there are those that say, well, you know, it's not Saturday because the Lord rose on the first day of the week, so somehow or other the Sabbath got changed over to Sunday. So now we're going to keep Sunday instead of Saturday. Well, it's okay again. If somebody, for conscience sake, wants to do that, that's fine. But it's not okay for somebody to rest upon that and say, oh, brother, we're keeping the Sabbath. And we're doing it in these external, oh, you shouldn't drive. I've heard of a fellow. I never personally met him, but Brother Don was telling me about a fellow that he knew that so much believed in the keeping of the Sabbath on what he calls the Lord's Day, because he believes that Sunday has been changed to the Sabbath, that he had a certain distance, he believed, now how he determined it, I don't know, that he could go on the Sabbath day and still not violate the keeping of the Sabbath. And he wouldn't even go beyond that, though it was just a little bit further than that, to go over to a place and preach to the gospel to some people that would have liked for him to do it because it's too far for him to go on Sunday. Now, brethren, that's straining in a gnat and swallowing a camel, and it certainly strains what's being said here. Let your heart be established with grace. If you want to keep the day, then do it as unto the Lord, but know that it has no bearing or effect whatsoever on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're just doing that because you want to do it, because you think you ought to do it, and that's fine. It's like women that wear head coverings. I certainly am not opposed to that. You know, I think it's a fine thing. Can be a mark of humility. But it also can be a mark of pride if somebody looks at it and says, well, brother, look at us. You know, we're established in the gospel because we wear head coverings. Look at us. You know, we're doing this. Brethren, let your heart be established with grace, not with meats. All of these things are meats. They're things that are external. They're things that can be seen with the eyes. Because you see, we're to serve God with that hidden man of the heart. It's like when the Lord said to women, He said, let your women not be those that are known for their outward apparel and their plaited hair and their makeup and jewels and all those things. Now, some have taken that to mean that He was condemning those things. That wasn't what He was saying at all. He said, don't let that be the thing you're known by. He didn't say don't have that. He said, don't let that be the thing you're known by, but let the thing that you're known by be that you serve God with the hidden man of the heart. You know, that you adorn yourselves not outwardly, but inwardly. You see, that's for the heart to be established with grace. Because these external things, these meats and whatever, they're immaterial. They pass away. When you die, it don't matter what you got on, does it? I mean, you know, have you ever heard anybody, they go by and see somebody in a casket and say, man, you know, that necklace really made them look good. That's all this flesh is. It's passing away. It's nothing. If you want to wear a necklace, wear a necklace. You know, if you don't want to wear one, don't wear one. But don't look at it as a thing that will establish you before God, because these things are nothing. Let your heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Because you know why? Because their eyes get occupied with something other than Christ. Oh, we believe we ought to follow. But brother, I noticed the other day that you didn't have on the right kind of garment. Or you didn't do things just a certain way, or your hairstyle's wrong. You know, all these different things that people look at, these are not those things. They've not profited them. Because you see, a man that keeps the Sabbath and becomes occupied with it, you can't be occupied but with one thing. You can't be occupied with two things. To be occupied means you got your eye on it. You know, oculus, the optic nerve, something that's ocular is something that's seen with the eyes. And so you can't be occupied. That means your eye cannot be on more than one thing at a time. You're going to be looking at one thing. That's why the Scripture says, let your eye be single. Let it be looking at one thing. You're not looking over here at this and looking over here at that. Brethren, our focus is on one thing. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. It's never going to be different. I mean, the Lord's not going to, you know, 50 years from now, there's not going to be a different message that the gospel is centered on. It's always going to be Christ. That's always what it is. Do not be turned aside with divers and strange doctrines which have not profited them that have been occupied therein with these meats and different things that turn the eyes away. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. Now he's using an illustration here of the tabernacle. And the priests that worked in the making the offerings, they ate of the offerings that were given. That was part of that offering. Some of it was burned before the Lord, but the parts that were left over belonged to the priest. And they could eat those things. Well, see, they were eating of those things that were offered in this tabernacle. He said, we have an altar to eat of that those that eat from the tabernacle don't have any right to eat. Now, what's he saying? He's saying that if a man is caught up in any other thing other than Jesus Christ, he doesn't have the right to eat. That is, he's eating at some other table. Because there's only one menu, there's only one item on the menu at the altar of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's Him. He's the only thing. I mean, it's not all this other stuff. And so He said, we have an altar, which our altar is Christ. He is the offering, and He is the mercy seat. He's the Lamb, and He is the altar. And so, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. That is, those that serve external things. They don't have any place with Christ. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. I mean, here he's using the illustration. He says, they take those things and then they burn them outside the camp. He says this, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered outside the gates. That is, He wasn't in Jerusalem. He didn't go into Jerusalem and there make an offering for sin. Where did He make the offering for sin? Outside the gates. He was outside the city. Oh, they didn't want the city defiled with His blood, did they? Oh no, not our highly religious place. Take Him out there to the place of the skull. Crucify Him. You know, put Him out there. No, don't just kill Him right here inside the city. Well, that would defile it. Isn't that how men of religion think? Dear brethren, we want to be covered in the blood of Christ and nothing else. We're not interested in what defiles the temple. What we're interested in is anything that would defile Christ. Anything that would make Christ secondary. Anything that would put Christ in a co-equal place. You ever seen anybody that's got a sign on the front of their car that says, God is my co-pilot? That's the wrong thing. There ain't but one seat in the plane we're talking about. I mean, you got a pilot and you got passengers. There's no co-pilots. There's nothing that goes along with it. It's Christ and Christ alone. He went outside the camp and he says, therefore, let us go forth to Him outside the camp. We want to go where He is. See, we're not interested in satisfying the religious whims of men. and making everybody happy in the realm that they want to go in. Brethren, we want to go where Christ is, for here, that is in the city, speaking of where the tabernacle is, where the temple is, he says, we don't have a continuing city in the religion of men. But we have one. We seek a city which is to come, that city of God. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So we don't have to wait to certain times and seasons and days, but let us offer praise to him, offer sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. That's the sacrifices that God's pleased with. A broken and a contrite heart. A thankful spirit. Those that come to the Lord. And they just want to give him praise. They just want to fall on their faces and give him thanks. Now, brethren, that's the sacrifice with which is well pleasing in the sight of God. Giving thanks unto the Lord. Not riding herd. Or, you know, looking to see if we've measured up. You're never going to measure up. You can't measure up. If you're looking to measure up, you're going to be constantly disappointed. Brethren, our measuring stick is Christ. And when you measure yourself against Christ, you'll always come up lacking, very short. But what you, if that's your measuring stick and you know that he is that one who is the sacrifice for your sins. And he has said that I have stood in your place, in your room, in your stead, as your substitute. Then, dear brethren, we have a sacrifice which is well-pleasing in the sight of God. I don't want another one. I'm not looking for some kind of sacrifice other than Christ Jesus the Lord. And that is, dear brethren, the message of the gospel. And anything else is meats. Everything else is meats. You know, whatever you need to do for conscience sake, do it. But don't ever compromise or come to the place where you believe that such things as you can perform in your flesh somehow or other will enhance your standing with God. Because it will not. Christ and Christ alone. May we be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And I would venture to say, sadly, that most of those that call themselves Christians in the present day are occupied with many things other than Christ. May we be not caught up in that. But may Christ alone be that which we desire, and that one to whom we seek, that one who's our example, that one who's our guide, that one who's our director, and that one to whom he alone we will give praise forever.